Father, we love you this morning because you first loved us. Thank you, Lord, that even while we were sinners, your grace sought us out and found us. And you redeemed us from the kingdom of darkness. You brought us to your glorious kingdom of light. For which, Lord, for which cause we praise your name. We bow our knees to our Lord Jesus Christ and say, blessed be the Father of glory and the Father of lights. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you this morning as we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, we receive that light, we receive that understanding today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, we are still in the series of Life in the Spirit. Yesterday, we're talking of getting back into the glory of God. Today, I want to take that a little further. I'm talking about actually now walking in the glory of God. Yeah, now that we are back into the glory, how did we get back? Well, it was a heart of repentance to know that, yeah, we really needed to be walking in the glory of God, submitting ourselves to Him, and listening to how He instructs us and leads us and guides us. But today I want to talk more about walking in the glory of God. Some things that are very important. I mean, these lessons overlap, but the first thing is yesterday we talked about recognizing that we fell from that glory and that we needed to get back. Today I want to focus more about, you know, knowing who we are in Him, knowing what's inside of us, knowing how to walk in that glory. Praise the Lord. So, how do we know that we have this glory that we can walk in? Well, several scriptures talk about it. But first, I want to give us a parallel of this glory. You know, a parallel thought is light also versus darkness. We who are in the Lord are in the light. We are not in the darkness. And that light is what actually shines through us as God's glory. Remember the scripture we've read in John 11 and verse 10 that Jesus said, those that stumble in the night, they stumble because there's no light inside of them. Well, we have this light in us, and we need to discover all that that light brings. Isaiah chapter 60 verses 1 and 3 tells us how to arise and shine. In that text, which I'm going to read now, you can see the correlation between light and God's glory. Or God's glory and light. So let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 60 and verses 1 to 3 in the King James. It says, arise and shine, for the glory, it says, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So right away you see the connection there with light, between light and the glory of the Lord. And you see the contrast that he talks about. It said there's darkness over the earth, gross darkness upon the people, but the Lord, so he shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen on thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. You know, so that glory causes light in us and around us. And a kings to the brightness of thy rising. I want to highlight the correlation between, you know, God's glory and light. And let me say it this way, the level, or you can say the degree that you have, you know, his light, or the light of the Lord, is the degree to which his glory can shine in us. And where does that light come from? Well, we say it every day here on this platform. The entrance of thy word brings light. We say it every single day. Psalm 119 verse 130. The source of that light is his word. There's no other way that we can get it. That word also brings life. It has both, carries both light and life. As Jesus declared, you know, that the words that I speak, say they are spirit and life. John 6:63. Also yesterday when we were looking at the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17, you can see the, you know, some emphasis that Jesus places on the word of God that he has delivered to the people. You know, he was talking about glory, but he was also talking about, you know, the word of God. He said, well, you know, I have given them thy word, and they have kept thy word. And he said, look, sanctify them by the word that they've heard. So let's read a little bit of it again, because I want to make this connection clear in our minds. You know, in the book of John, chapter 17, verse 16, verse 6, he said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest me, and they have kept thy word. You know, and he's talking about the word of God. And the word of God, he said also, you know, first before he said that, he was talking about, you know, the glory that he had from the beginning, asking the Father to restore not only to him, but that he himself would grant us the same glory. And, you know, it said, you know, my word is in them, and they have kept thy word, and they know that all things that I have spoken unto them are from you. And on and on and on, he gave, you know, he spoke to us about the word of God. Listen to these verses here. I have given them thy word, verse 14. And the world hath hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. So he said again in verse 16, they are not of the world, as I'm not of this world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, so he's talking about the word of God. He's talking about that's how we can be sanctified or set apart or cleansed or anointed for service, the service of the Lord in our daily lives. It says, thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word is that truth. Praise the Lord. You know, so he said, for their sakes also I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth, which is his word. He said, thy word is truth. You know, and on and on and on, he talked about that. And then finally in verse 22, the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them, he said. And so we looked at that in contrast to Isaiah 42 verse 8 that says, I will not give my glory to another, neither my praise to graven images. But now we see that Jesus said, I'll give them my glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, the Lord, in there's one place in the book of John, chapter 12. I want to read just one or two things there. Verse 28 is where I'm really going there. But let me read John chapter 12 and verse 28. Now is, well, let me read it from verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor, or him will my Father glorify. Remember, we're talking about glorifying. You know, we read the scriptures in Romans 8 that said, whom the Father foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. And we've seen all the previous phases. We're now in the glorification phase. So let's consider this. Jesus said, whosoever serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be. And if any man serves me, him will my Father honor or glorify. Now, he said, my soul is troubled. What shall I say, Father? He said, Lord, Father, save me from this hour. I said, no, I can't do it. For this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name, he prayed. And then there was a voice from heaven. The Lord responded. God responded right away and said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Thank you, Jesus. Well, when we pray that prayer in our lives to enter into the glory of God is more about him glorifying his name in us. It's not about us getting any glory. It's about him. You know, unto thee, O Lord, belongs all the glory. Not unto us. Not unto us, the psalmist said. You know, so when we are talking about being glorified, or the church being glorified, it's really about the light and the glory of God shining through the church in a way that others will see it. Jesus said in, you know, when he was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, you know, chapter 5 and verse 16, he said this, the following words, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father which is in heaven. So that light that is in us is what actually glorifies God. The degree to which we have that light, and since that light comes from the Word of God, well, it means the degree to which we eat this Word, that's the degree to which that light will be formed inside of us. Praise the Lord. Let me read to us, I mean, not read. Let me declare to us a few things, you know, that Jesus said concerning, or the scriptures say, concerning the sons of God and the sons of the kingdom. And these sons of God that we have been talking about, they come in the image and likeness of God. Because that's what he said from the beginning. Reading Genesis 1 and 26, it says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. That man there is man, as in human race, and not just as in male only. Now, let's look at the process of getting this glory and what this glory implies. Remember, Romans 3 and 23 says we are all falling short of it. If we fell short of it, Well, that means, you know, in order to get back into it, we have to attain it again. Because we at one time fell short. And walking in the glory of God, it means, you know, that we are demonstrating and representing God's likeness, not, you know, just our personal will, but His will being done in our lives, to show His glory to the world. He said, well, let your light so shine, and that will show the glory of your Father. Our light shines more. Actually, you know that light shines brightest when it is darkest. That's the contrast that Isaiah chapter 60 verse 2 was bringing out. It said there will be darkness all around and gross darkness upon everybody. And that will cause your light to shine even brighter. The darker it is, the brighter the light shines, whatever light you have. And if you have really bright light, then it shines really brightly, more so even in the darkness. Now, the change that must, there's a change that must happen within us to get us back into the glory. It's called transformation. And we've referred to it throughout this series, Second Corinthians 3 and 8. We're transformed from glory to glory. As though we're looking in a mirror and things, you know, the reflection that we are seeing is changing. And looking more and more like the Christ. Now, the glory of God will increase in us in direct proportion to how we walk in obedience, how we walk in love, and how we demonstrate faith in His word. I mean, these things, these concepts are given throughout the scriptures. Here's one verse for us to consider in Galatians chapter 5. You know, Paul is talking about, you know, how we should walk. He said, we should walk in love. In Christ Jesus, neither is there circumcision or anything like that, no circumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So even as we say we are walking in faith, it's all because we love the Lord. And in this place, in this chapter, it begins to talk about the works of the flesh, which we've dealt with in the early part of this series, is to get rid of that, all those things, and transition into walking in the Spirit. Now, walking in love, walking in faith, they go hand in hand together. You know, see, and the fire, the light, the glory of God that's in us, you know, it emanates from the inside. Jesus even talks about rivers of living water coming from the inside. It's like, John chapter 7 verse 37. He said, you know, this Spirit of God, when it comes in you, to be like rivers of living water, start from the inside, you know, and it flows to all things around us. We're going to talk about some degrees of His glory. You know, the intimacy with the Lord is the foundation for this walking in His glory. And this is what we discovered from people like Moses that was saying, show me thy way, O Lord, that I may see your glory. That's what he wanted to know. And later on, the scriptures will report that the children of Israel only saw his acts, you know, but he showed his glory, ways to Moses. So knowing the Lord intimately is a way that we get closer into his glory and his light. The children of Israel didn't care to know his ways, but Moses did. Now, those people saw his the Lord's acts, but, you know, Moses knew his ways. Psalm 103, verse 7 says, he made his ways known unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Well, Moses was the one that got the glory. The children of Israel didn't. And so we can see that the knowledge of God, the intimate knowledge of God's ways, you know, can, you know, equate to the shining of the glory of God through us. Moses wanted to know his ways. Show me thy way, Lord. He prayed that prayer in Exodus 33. Show me thy way that I may know thee. You know, so, and the more we know him, it looks like that's how we get the glory. Now, knowing him also comes from the word of God. And the children of Israel did not want to hear the word of God directly. They wanted it secondhand. You go hear it from God and tell it to us. Because if we hear it directly ourselves, we would die. That's what they thought. And, well, because they would only hear it secondhand, it did not have quite the same effect on the on them like the person I heard it firsthand. The one that heard it firsthand, glory of God was shining in him. His face was even radiating. The ones that wanted to hear it only secondhand, you go hear it from God and come tell it to us. Well, you know, at best, you know, the word actually condemned them because they didn't even, I mean, they couldn't even stand that word. In fact, they ran away from the presence of God. Little, it's the little wonder then that there was, you know, the life of God was not in them because they didn't want to hear the word of God. It's a little wonder then that it's no wonder at all, actually, that they would be rebellious and would not follow the things of God because they didn't want to hear the word of God. You can read all of that in Exodus chapter 20. At first, they said, we will hear it. But then later they said, we cannot hear it. Because if we hear it, we're going to die. You know, and Moses was looking at them like, you know, if you God wanted to kill you, you'd be dead already. But these people, they did not want any part of God's word. Listen to this. Exodus chapter 20. And verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet, the mountains smoking, and saw the glory, saw the fire, saw all of these phenomena. And when they saw it, they removed and stood afar off. That means they didn't want to get anything anywhere close to the glory of God. And these people said, this is how they disqualify themselves. So they said to Moses, speak thou with us, you know, and we will hear. But not let God, I mean, let not God speak with us. My goodness. So, lest we die. They disqualify themselves from hearing the word of God. Now, this is the exact opposite of what they should be doing. Let us hear thy word, O Lord. For how shall a man cleanse his ways? You know, by taking heed, O Lord, according to thy word. But they said, no, we can't hear that word. But Moses said unto them, look, don't be afraid. God didn't come here to kill you. You know, he came here to prove you. But the people stood afar off. They didn't want any part of it. And so that's how they lost the walking with God experience. And from that point on, Moses became a prophet unto them. to the point to where later on, when Moses went to hear the same word that they said, go hear it and come tell it to us. Well, Moses was only gone for a few days to the point where they said, well, we don't know what has happened to this Moses. Well, you're the one that told him to go hear from God and come tell it to you. They said, no, well, we don't know what has become of this Moses. He's been gone now for several days. So make us a golden calf. You know, now all of that came about because they would not hear the word of God by for themselves in the first place. If they would have drawn near unto the Lord themselves and knew how to hear directly from God, the absence of Moses would not have mattered. And so, you know, when people do not hear and receive the word of God, the consequences are that our heart will seek for other things, looking for replacement. You can't replace the presence of God with anything else. I mean, people turn to so many things, but no, you know, that's not going to work. We must return to seeking the Lord, ourselves. Now, it's good for us to hear instruction from godly teachers that God puts in our lives, just like God said in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors after my own heart that will feed you with, you know, knowledge and understanding. Well, if we have those people, well, blessed be the name of the Lord. But responsibility of drawing near to hear the word of God is something that we must embrace. And that's how this glory will come in us. The words that I speak, Jesus said, that's what's going to give you, quicken you, quicken your mortal body, and also give you life. Let's see what the glory of God might look like. The empowered life, a life that walks in authority. It's also another way of looking at his glory. The glory of God was upon Adam, and he had authority and dominion to do, you know, and function in this assignment. And he was able to do it as long as he remained in obedience. This glory, this authority, this walking in fire, who among us shall dwell, in the midst of the consuming fire and everlasting burnings, just like Isaiah asked. Well, you got to have the integrity of your heart. Walk in the integrity of your heart before the Lord, always humbling ourselves, trembling at his word. Isaiah 66:2. Who is the man that the Lord would, you know, turn his attention to? Who is that person? Well, you want to have God's attention like that, you want to be quote unquote in with God like that, well, then tremble at his word. Have a contrite heart. Isaiah 66:2. He that has a contrite heart trembles at my word. That word is a source of life. You cannot, we cannot overemphasize it. Now, the empowered life, of course, also comes from the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked about that. Luke 24:49. You will receive endowment of power, he said. Also, Acts 1:8, you receive power. That power to function as effective witnesses from him. We must establish, and maintain daily communication. That is so foundational to the glory of God, for us to be able to walk in that glory. Intimacy with him. one-on-one connection on a daily basis. Jesus demonstrated that. I would get away from the crowd and early in the morning go somewhere alone by himself with the Father. He must engage the Word of God. Jesus said that. John 6:63, and also this Psalm 119 verse 130, which we quote all the time. The entrance of your word is where that light, that glory, that understanding comes from. It's where the life comes from, where the quickening comes from. You know, and you must also embrace righteousness and holiness. Why? Because, you know, the Bible says that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We want to see the Lord. Well, we must engage in righteousness. We can't do it otherwise. You know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it tells us that we should follow peace with all men and holiness. Basically, pursue holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. What is holiness? Well, let me spell holiness for us today. Holiness can only be produced by the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Holiness is the nature of the Holy Spirit. Because that's who He is. He's holy. And what does holiness look like? Well, how do you spell holiness? You can see it in Galatians chapter 5. Because it said the fruit of the Spirit. You would have thought when Paul would write these things about the fruit of the Spirit, you would have thought the first and perhaps the only one that he would mention would be holiness. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit should be holiness. Well, it is. The fruit of the Spirit is holiness. That's what it should be. And that should be the end of that verse. The fruit of the Spirit is holiness. Because that's, you know, you see, Holy Spirit, His fruit will be holiness. But when he described what this fruit of the Spirit looks like, which we know should be holiness, we see that this is the way he describes that holiness. All these things he says, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and so forth. I mean, that's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, so if we're trying to be holy, you know, because we don't see holiness actually mentioned here as the fruit of the Spirit, and that means that all these things taken together, that's really what holiness is. Taken together, it's the nature of the Spirit of God. When it comes into us, what does the Spirit of God inspire? What does it influence in our lives? What is the characteristic? What transformation does it bring? Brings us into a life of love, you know, not only to the Father, but also to our brethren. Inspires the joy of the Lord in us. We have peace, you know, and so forth. Well, this is really the fruit of the Spirit. And so that's what holiness looks like. It's walking in all these things, in meekness, in temperance, in long-suffering, in gentleness, in goodness, in faith, all these things together. And he says, well, that's what walking in the Spirit means. The next verse says, if we say we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? Well, you walk in the fruit of the Spirit. You walk a life of walking in the Spirit is a life that demonstrates the fruit of the Spirit. Not a life of vain glory and say, I want to be glorified. No. But a life that produces the character of God. That's the real glorification. That's what pleases the Father. When he looks, he'll say, yeah, that's my son. That's my beloved son. That's my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. Then he's glorified. The Lord can also be glorified even in our lives, even in different and difficult situations. And sometimes when we face difficulties, we've talked about the travail that comes before birth, you know, birth pains, and travail comes also before triumph. The Lord can be glorified even in those things when the blessing and the victory comes. Not the pain and the suffering, but the blessing and the victory that comes afterwards. You know, when the works and the glory of God, I mean, when the work of victory is revealed in our lives, it also indicates the glory of God. There was a question that they asked Jesus in John chapter 9. So these people saw, and Jesus also, this man that was born blind from his birth. So his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind?" And Jesus looked at the situation, and knowing that man, he said, "Well, neither has this man sinned, nor yet his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Well, me personally, this is one of the hardest scriptures that I've ever read in that Bible. I mean, this man was 40 years in blindness. Yet Jesus said, it wasn't because of his sin or his parents. His parents were walking in the integrity of their hearts. Now, this man also, it wasn't his sin that caused this thing upon him. But there was a higher purpose. The works of God will bring the glory of God one day in this man's life. And the day that he was healed, that brought glory to God. When we face situations, we're talking about walking in God's glory. These are some other practical ways to experience that God's glory. When you make the situation at hand about God getting the glory, we see that in the prayers that some people prayed, like Hezekiah, when Rabshakeh and Sennacherib came to chide them and say, "Well, let not Hezekiah make you to trust in the Lord." This means Hezekiah, he has broken down the altars of the Lord. So why do you think, this is what they said, that his God will save you, or put your trust in his God? Did any of those other gods from those other nations we destroyed, did they save the people? They couldn't. And neither will Hezekiah's God save you. Turn to us. Put yourselves under our yoke. And, you know, we will deal kindly with you. And so these were the words that came. And I'm sure several people know that story. And, but we see how Hezekiah turned it to be for God's glory. You know, so he took the writings and first of all, he sent a word to Isaiah the prophet, say, "Hey, pray, you know, there's some real trouble here. It may be that the Lord thy God will hear the words of this Rabshakeh that he has sent to reproach the living God. And maybe God will reprove his words," and so on. So that's Isaiah 37. So they came, they told Isaiah. Isaiah prayed, and Hezekiah himself prayed. And let's look at some of his prayer. This is how he turned even horrible situations to the glory of God. So you do it. He said, "O Lord of hosts," Isaiah 37, and I'm reading from verse 15. "O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art God," he said, "thou art God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of this earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth," and he began to glorify God. Now, incline thine eye, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see all the words of this Sennacherib and Rabshakeh, which they have sent to reproach the living God. Now, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries. And they have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands and the rebellion of men's hearts. I put that there. Wood and stone, therefore, they were destroyed by the Assyrians. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God. Now, listen to this. This is a way that, when we know how to do it, the glory of God will shine through even in our most difficult situations. Glory of God is not only about glorious things that are happening around us. The glory of God is also about how we get victory in the difficult situations through the Lord being glorified in that situation. Listen to this. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand. Why? That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou alone. Now, when we pray like that, in other words, you're making it God's fight for him to get the glory, for him to get renown and name. God said concerning Moses, Pharaoh, I will get me renown upon him, get my name upon him. Yeah. Well, in order for God's glory to shine through the situation that we are in, even dark moments, we got to make it about God getting the glory. Hezekiah could have prayed and said, now, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand so that our country be not destroyed, our women do not become widows, our children do not become fatherless, and these people will not dispossess us from the inheritance of the Lord. He could have made it about himself, but he didn't. He prayed the prayer that made it about God getting glory. And he said, look, do it so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know. And that's God getting glory. That's right. Now, when you pray like that, then God will get glory in that situation. God will be glorified. Be thou glorified, O Lord, in my life, in my situation, even in this moment that I'm in. Maybe your Red Sea moments. It may be difficulties. It may be things are not blossoming. Things are cut off from the vine and the stalks and everything. It may be you lost your job or you are dealing with reduced income in struggling times, or it may be whatever. To walk in the glory of God in that situation, that means we got to seek his glory. We make the prayers to God for him to get the glory. Jesus prayed. So, Father, glorify thy name. The Lord's voice of God responded and said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So that's how the glory of God gets revealed in every situation. You are in the situation that you are in today. Make your prayer to God and say, Father, glorify thy name in this situation. Remember, the scripture we read, it said Jesus was troubled in the spirit. There were certain times that he was really troubled in the spirit. He said, look, can this cup be removed from me? Lord, Father, is there any other way around this? Because he knew he was going to be made sin and God will be turn his back against him. He was separated from the Father. He dreaded that moment. But he had those nevertheless moments. When his soul was feeling like that and so on, he would say, well, nevertheless, thy will be done. And in this place, he was also doing the same thing in this John chapter 12 that we read. Let's read it again, now that you see where I'm coming from. He said that, now is my soul troubled. That is John chapter 12, verse 17. There are not many times that we are told that his soul was troubled. What is it troubling him. Well, let's read the rest of it. He said, what shall I say? Save me from this hour? Well, that's the same thing like he was saying when he was in the garden. If it's possible, remove this cup from me. Well, save me from this hour. Same thing. But what was his response? He said, look, I can't do that. You know, I know that this is the reason I came. Unto this hour. This is it. And I got to go through. And then he said, you know, in the situation in which his soul was troubled, when your soul is troubled, let's do like Jesus. Pray that God will glorify his name in that situation. That's it. If we can do it like that, many of us, that's not how we pray. You know, we pray for so many things, but not that God will get glory out of that situation. But if we can figure out how God can get glory out of that situation, if we can make it about that, that's what Hezekiah did. And if you read the rest of the story, how God responded, he sent an angel of the Lord, one of those angels that excel in strength. He went there and slaughtered 185,000 of those, their enemies, in one night. That's it. In the morning, dead corpses everywhere. Now, Jesus here also prays and said, my soul is troubled because of this thing that I have to go through. And then he said, Father, glorify thy name in this situation. He said, well, the Lord God answered and said, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. If you can bring yourself to understand this, whatever we are facing in our lives, God can get glory out of that situation. That's walking in glory. You know, be glorified. Glorified when we are up. Glorified when we are down. Glorified when things are good. Glorified when things are bad. Paul said, look, I am instructed in every way, everything, how to be abounding and suffer want and all these things. I know how to do it all. Do all things to Christ. That strengthens me. But it's about the glory. He said, look, teach me thy ways that I may know thee. I want to know thee. And experience the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your sufferings. I want to experience the glory of God. So, you know, this is one way that people won't think about when we are trying to talk about walking in God's glory. We're not going to think about stuff like this because, you know, what we think walking in the glory of God is raising the dead, walking on the sea, commanding devils to come out, doing all these great works that Jesus did. Yeah, that's walking in his glory. But there's more than that. Walking in the glory also means when your soul is troubled. Like Christ was here and Hezekiah's was. When it's troubled like that and you pray the prayer about God getting the glory, when it comes through for you, that's walking in glory. Because now the glory belongs to God. Jesus said when we pray, we say, thine is the kingdom, thine is the glory, thine is the power. God must be glorified. It's a song that we say that sing like that. God must be glorified in my life every day. Well, the Lord must be glorified. That's actually a way of walking in glory. We don't think about it like that, but it is. You know, because when God's glorified in your life, that means your life is emanating his glory. I mean, your life is a reflection of his glory. The situations in your life are causing the glory of God to be known. God is getting renown and name. And God himself said, look, I will get you glory. Well, but you are the one that's saying, Lord, get yourself glory. See, that's how it works. The Lord said, I will glorify you. But it's like by you saying, Lord, glorify yourself. And then the Lord turned around and said, yeah, I have glorified it. And I will glorify even myself in this situation. We read this in Zephaniah the other day, and I want to read a piece of it again. That's an aspect that eludes us most of the time when we're talking about walking in his glory. The Lord said, he said, the Lord in the midst of thee, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee, Zephaniah 3 and verse 17, he is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy, and he will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Now listen to this. Those who are of sorrowful heart, the Lord said, I will gather them together. You know, those who have been in reproach, when the reproach was so heavy that it was a burden, the Lord said, well, that's what I'm going to do. At that time, I will undo all that afflict you. That's right. You know, I will undo it. The situation that brought you into the heaviness of heart, those who are sorrowful, the situation that brought you into a place where you are depressed because of the heavy burden, the Lord said, well, I will turn that around. I will undo all that afflict you. I will save her that halted and gather them that were driven out, and I will get them praise and fame. Glory to God. You know, even in that situation, when the Lord does it, the people will come. He said, kings shall come, you know, to thy, you know, light, and the Gentiles to the brightness of thy rising. When they see, Jesus said, let your light so shine, people will glorify God. When they see the great deliverances of God in your life, you make it about God getting the glory. Then the Lord said, yeah, you know, areas where you have been put to shame, I'm going to get you praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. Zephaniah, you know, chapter 3 and verse 20. Glory to God. Yeah. At that time, he said, I mean, verse 19. At that time, I will get you praise and fame in the places where you have been put to shame. And then verse 20 says, at that time, I'll bring you again and gather you, and I will make you a name and a praise. That's like God now making you to shine. You shine, arise and shine. Well, God's making you do it because you called upon him to do it. Just like Jesus, Father, glorify thy name. And Jesus and the Lord say, yeah, I glorify and I'm going to do it again. And we also say, Father, glorify your name in this situation that I am going through. Glory to God. So that's another way of doing it. Now we need to embrace, the nature of God. Embrace who you are. You know, praise God. Embrace the things that God has said in the Word of God about who you are, who you represent. That's how we cause the glory of God to shine. As an understanding, there's a grace that comes from studying the Word of God, from being in a place of hearing his word. Jesus said that word is what will quicken you, is what will bring life to your situation. The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. There's a transformation process that results in glorification. We talk about the butterfly, you know, from the cocoon and all of that. And all that struggle, and that's a glorification, this beautiful thing that comes out of that. Well, it went through a lot of suffering and struggle and pain. And Jesus said it himself, Luke 24 and 25, ought not Christ to have suffered all these things in order to enter into his glory? Wow. So we go through all these sufferings through and enter into glory. Now, one thing that will keep us from, you know, glory and the paths of glory and the paths of righteousness are the gates of hell called sin. Sin is the doorway that opens those gates of hell coming to closing on us. You are on the paths of righteousness. You know, lead me in the paths of righteousness for thy great name's sake. The psalmist prayed. You are on the path of righteousness that leads to the glory of God. But the gates of hell through sin, remember, I define sin in this series as declaration of independence from God. You know, that's my own definition. When you say, God says, do thee this way, and you say, no, I'm going to do it that way. Well, that was disobedience. That's how sin entered the world. That's them trying to do their own thing rather than God's way. Well, from that point, they were on their own. It was just the mercy of God that reached out. But they said, no, we're not going to do what you said. Maybe they didn't say it quite like that, but their actions, you know, demonstrated that that was what they were doing. God said one thing, they went a different way. You know, so that's rebellion. That's rebellion. You know, God has given us instruction. We must follow it. Even if we don't, and you follow your own heart and follow your own ways, well, that's declaration of independence. I don't need to do what God says. I'm going to do my own thing. Well, then you are on your own. You know, when the colony declares independence from the colonizing kingdom, well, the kingdom cannot do anything for them anymore. They leave them. They withdraw their own governors and prime ministers and so forth. And that local colony is on its own now. You know, so now let's not be in a place of disobedience. Disobedience cannot, will so cloud the glory of God. We cannot function in the glory of God with disobedience alone. You know, when God says it, you do it. That's what brings the glory of God. Listen to how Jesus said it in John 14. I've quoted this multiple times. You know, he that loves me will keep my commandments. And I will love him. John 14, 21 to 23. And I will manifest myself to him. That's the glory of God being revealed in your life. And even my Father and I will come and make an abode with him. And where God comes, his entourage of glory comes with him. It all started by Jesus saying, this person is keeping my commandments. And this is what will be produced in their life, from keeping my commandments. Praise the Lord. You know, there is a word that is used often in the Bible, in the Greek. It's called doza, you know, dozo life. It's called the glory of God. You know, walking in that glory, it means really a reflection. Let me be a reflection of your glory. Paul said you are epistles read of all men. Jesus said, let them see your light. And then they will give glory to your Father. So the more we align ourselves with the character of Christ, the image and likeness of God, that's the effect. The effect it will bring in our life is a radiation of his glory. Now, glory to God is not necessarily what we think glory is. Jesus talked about that, Luke 16 and 15. The things that are highly esteemed among men, those are not the glorious things as far as God is concerned. In fact, he said those things are an abomination. Moses, when he was praying about, show me thy glory, Lord, in Exodus 33, Moses had seen all kinds of miracles. Moses had witnessed all kinds of things. He had seen power, like nobody else had. He could do creative miracles, even to the point of parting the Red Sea. And so what is this thing, you know, that this man will be still asking for, you know, after all these things? You know, show me thy glory, I beseech thee. Moses was still praying, Exodus 33 and verse 18. Are you telling me that all those miracles that you saw and all that stuff, you know, is not glorious enough for you? There's a hunger in this man. Show me thy glory, Lord. That's the thing that our lives every day, this is how we walk in the glory. every day we must want to experience His glory anew. Not the glorious things that happened yesterday. That's good. We give praise to Him for that. But I need to experience His glory today. That's walking in His glory. It's an everyday thing. It's not, oh, you know, I experienced it yesterday. And so, you know, no, it's today. After all that stuff that Moses experienced today, he's still wanting to see the glory of God. Show me thy glory, Lord, he said in Exodus 33:18. Remember, at this time, he had already seen a lot of stuff and experienced a lot of stuff. Yet, he's still, I want to see your glory. And boy, did he ever see it. The Lord passed by him. And he saw a lot of things too. It wasn't the earthquake, it wasn't the fire, it wasn't the, you know, the shaking and rattling and so forth. The glory of God came in the revelation of who God was to him. The Lord said, well, I'm going to tell you something about myself. And the Lord began to reveal and speak, I will declare unto you my own name. So when we enter into a place of revelation, that's actually walking in His glory. Because Moses asked to see His glory, God responded by saying, I will declare unto you my name. So God's response of revealing more about Himself and His attributes to Moses, in response to Moses' prayer about seeing and walking in God's glory, then that shows us that the more we know about God, that's actually a way of, you know, measuring the glory of God in our lives. That's right. And Jesus said, yeah, I will come and I will manifest myself unto you. And this same Moses also, he saw the glory of Christ in a different way in Matthew chapter 17. You know, Elias and Moses were there with Jesus on the mount. And Jesus was transfigured before them. And Moses saw that glory again. Praise the Lord. Now, many ways that you, what is glory to you? What do you want? You want the walk on water, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, multiply bread. All of that is glorious. And glorious things are spoken of us, you know. But don't leave out these other things. The image and character of Christ. This was the glory that God intended from the beginning. He said, well, let us make man in our image after our likeness. That will cause them to function, you know, like God. And then they will have that ability, will make them to have dominion. Now, once that ability of functioning like God has been eroded through disobedience, then we can't have any dominion. You know, so we need to get back to that place. Praise the Lord. Walking in the glory of God also means walking in love, because God is love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'll tell you some religious leaders who were not walking in God's glory, but they didn't have love and compassion. You know, this story is told in what we commonly called or call the story of the Good Samaritan. That's what we commonly call it. But in that story, Jesus told about religious leaders that did not care anything about the wounded man. They didn't care. And they left the wounded man like that. You know. And they passed. You can read the story in Luke chapter 10. The Levite came, saw him, left him wounded like that. The priest came, saw him, left him wounded like that. Do you think the Levite and the priest were walking in the glory of God? Were they walking in love? Could they not have helped this man who was wounded like that? Why did they leave him wounded like that? You know, were they demonstrating the would Christ have left the wounded man like that and walked away? So when we are not behaving like Christ, that shows that we are not walking in his glory. Not walking with God. The life of Christ is not being made manifest in our mortal flesh. We're not acting and functioning like him. And these were religious leaders. And they left the wounded like that. Today, there are a lot of wounded people. And the religious leaders are not only leaving them wounded like that, they are actually breaking, you know, the flax that's already almost broken, a bruised reed, they are broken. They are breaking the smoking flax, they are quenching. But the Bible says Jesus wouldn't do that. A reed that's almost broken, he's going to fix it. The thing that's already dying, you know, he's going to strengthen it, not trample it down. So when we don't show grace to others, we're not walking in his glory. You know, so, you know, that's the aspect I want to call out, because that's not the popular aspect. The popular aspect is for us to call people out of the graves, walk on water, do all these marvelous things. That's a popular aspect of being glorified. And it will come. But Jesus didn't get there, you know, by doing all those things. He got there by emptying himself. He was in complete obedience to the Father. Even before he did any of those things, the Father was already saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." You know, he was already declared to be the Son of God with power. The voice from heaven declared it so, even when we're not told that he had done any miracles. So God is looking for a lot. And if miracles alone define the glory of God, then Jesus would not have said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and 22, that, you know, not everyone that says to me, "Lord, Lord," or "Yes, Lord," but don't actually do the will of my Father. I say yes, but they don't do it. They call me Lord, but they don't do what I say. Not everybody like that will enter the kingdom. Say, look, many will come to me on that day. And they will say, "Lord, didn't we do these miracles? I mean, you said these signs shall follow them, I believe. And we went out, we did these things. We did all of these things." I mean, we did it. And that's what Jesus said. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils and done many wonderful works in your name?" But they did it in the name of the Lord. And Jesus didn't say they didn't do it. But and Jesus said, "I will profess unto them, I never knew you." My goodness. I never knew you, and yet you did all those things. So if those things were the definition of glory, then some people that did those things would not draw such a response from Christ. These people did not walk in the image of God. He said, "Ye are walkers of iniquity." You know, they did not have the character of the Lord in them. What Christ was looking for, just like in Mark 11, he was looking for something from that fig tree that didn't produce something. The fig tree was doing well in other areas. It had leaves, we're told. From afar off, it was green. It looked luscious. It was providing shade for birds and maybe even people. I mean, it was doing all kinds of things. I mean, you know, it looked good. It had a name that it liveth, but it was dead. You know, it looked good, but it didn't have the one thing that the master was looking for. You know, now Revelation chapter 3, you know, and verse 1 says, "Thou hast a name that you live, but you are dead." The fig tree looked like it was living, but it was dead. These people that were doing these miracles and everything, they looked like they were doing something good. But as far as Jesus was concerned, they didn't have something that he was looking for. Fruit. They didn't have the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the miracles that he was looking for. We have seen here that people might walk miracles and do all these things, and yet still Jesus will say, "No, I don't know you." You know, because they did not come in the image and likeness of Christ. That's really what he's looking for. So I conclude that walking in his glory means really for us developing into the fullness of his stature, which Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13 talks about. When we come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, many of us are thinking it's about the miracles. No, it's not. It's about what God said in the beginning. Make man in our image. And who is the image? Well, image is Christ. He said Christ in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. And God said, be like Christ. Romans 8 and 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate that they will be like Christ. And Christ was the brightness of God's glory. And was the express image of God's person. And God said, you will be like Christ. He was looking for that character of Christ. That's right. The things that we do are not what define us. You heard it. The miracles that you do does not define you to God. Or, you know, even the on the other side too, our disobedience. You know, but to the best of our ability, those of us who are human beings, that's all we can see. For by their fruit you shall know them. We can only see what we see, but God sees beyond that. You know, God said, look, you guys judge after the outward appearance, told Samuel. So, but look, I look after the heart. God's looking at something that we don't see. Well, how do I know? I don't know. All I can see is what they do from the outside. But God is looking for something beyond what other people are seeing. Ye are they which justify yourselves before men. You do these things to be seen of men, Jesus said. So, well, you have your reward. But what God is looking for, the real walking with God, in walking in the glory of God, is becoming like Christ. 1 John 3, 1 and 2 says, what manner of love Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Even though right now we already are, but it doesn't quite look like yet, but he's still working on us, glory to glory, from glory to glory, from glory to glory. So we conclude that walking with God is a consistent and persistent, intentional, concentration on him. That's right. We are consistent. It's not today we do it and then you go away for 3 months. No. Consistently walking in the light. You know, as he is in the light. You know? Walk in the light as he is in the light. So, and if we don't walk in the light, remember, we cannot be part of God, according to 1 John 1 and 5. God is light and there is no darkness that will be a part of him. So if we allow our lives to be in darkness, we cannot say that we are walking in the glory of God. Now, after that, our obedience has been fulfilled according to, Second Corinthians, we are told that, we are not walking in the flesh. We are not warring after the flesh. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 3 to 6. But when your obedience is fulfilled, you're going to see the power radiate fully in you. You'll be able to cast down imaginations. You'll be able to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. You'll be able to, just level everything that raises his head against the knowledge of God in your life. And that's glory. Praise the Lord. And that glory also attracts the angel of the Lord around you. It is like, the psalmist said, the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear the Lord and do, you know, walk in the ways of the Lord, angel of the Lord will be there. Praise the Lord. You know, if you believe the word of the Lord, the angel of the Lord will be beside you, said the Lord, until I return. Huh? Glory to God. He will be there beside you. And he's always there. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to pray and leave it there. Let this settle, let it marinate into your spirit that walking in glory, it means a lot of things. You know, it means doing all the glorious things that we know, you know, but it also means these things that we have talked about today. But that's really where the Lord is looking for. It means also the angel of the Lord will be around you. Glorious things. Psalm 34 verse 7. The angel of the Lord will be around you. When you are fearing the Lord, will be around you. The entourage of the Lord will be with you. Because Jesus said, I and my Father will come. Well, where God goes, you know, these things, these creatures and these glories, they go with him. I'll be there with you. Your life will be glorious already. When it starts by you doing his commandments. You do my commandments, Jesus said, I'm coming to you. I'm going to make my abode with you. I'm going to sup with you. Huh? Glory to God. And then you can walk like a son and daughter of the King that you are. That's right. That's who we are. You walk like it. Don't walk like a sinner when God says you are a saint. You walk in power. Glory to God. You know who you are now because of whose you are. And you've seen, you know, and you've understood and you hear the word of God on a daily basis and you have emptied yourself before him and he is manifesting through you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we are praying the Jesus prayer. In the face of when his soul is distressed, when his soul is troubled, the Jesus prayer is, Father, glorify thy name. And so that's the prayer that I want us to pray right now. And I'm going to pray that prayer as I close right now. I'm going to pray that prayer for everyone, for myself and everyone that's distressed, whatever situation we are distressed over. And say, Father, glorify thy name. In this situation. Hallelujah. And let's see how the Lord will respond. Now, if we're able to truly make it about God getting the glory, just like Hezekiah did, and not about us looking for some angle of getting deliverance. No, it was about God getting the glory. Because he felt that really these people have come to disgrace the name of the Lord. I mean, they put God at the level of these gods that were made by hands. They said, look, we cast those gods into the fire. You know, don't think that your God can do anything for you. And I mean, that thing, something stirred up in Hezekiah. He said, wow. I mean, see what they have debased God to. You know, they're now trying to compare you with this rebellion of men's hearts, the works of men's hands. You know, they're making you equal to these people. I mean, these things that they fashioned by their own hands. Whereas you are the God that sits between the cherubims. You are the one that made the heaven and earth. Even thou art God alone. And he began to say this thing. I mean, he wasn't just looking for an angle of getting deliverance. He was really passionate about God getting the glory. And he said, well, Lord, glorify yourself in this situation. And the Lord did. So, Father, I pray myself and my brethren here, that we receive this understanding that in the face of our difficult moments, our difficult times, we will pray the Jesus prayer. Father, glorify thy name. We will pray the Hezekiah prayer. Lord, let thy name be glorified in this situation. And the Lord will answer back and say, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. I will get me a name and renown, and I will also make you a name and a praise. Glory to God. The Lord will respond in kind. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for my brethren, those that are going through at this time. Difficult times, facing situations that are overwhelming and distressing. Impossible situations. Impossible to man, but not to God. Facing situation where it looks like there is no hope. Bible calls them prisoners of hope. And the Lord will bring you out of it. All you got to do is make it about God getting glory in that situation. Testify beforehand that my God will come and save me in this situation. And you put his name out there ahead of time. Well, the Lord will defend that. He will defend the honor of his name. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, therefore, O Lord, glorify thyself in our lives, in every situation that we face, whether we are up or down, particularly when we are down. Glorify thyself in the situation, Lord. Make us to know that that's really walking in the glory when you get the glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank you, Father. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.